bring some snacks out there. This has been going on for hours upon hours, and at this point, they're trying to not only find the people who are on the bridge, but also help the support crew who's out there, the rescue crews, try to give them a little bit of support as well. And we'll continue to stay out here and continue to keep an eye on this throughout the night as well. For now, reporting live in Minneapolis, Leah McClain, 5 Eyewitness News.
Well, that is the sound for AM 1500 KSTP News. You are listening to the talk station, AM 1500 KSTP, St. Paul and Minneapolis. I am now joined by Nancy Fox. Nancy, good evening, good morning, whatever.
Good morning, yes.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't think when you and I were contemplating coming in here about 3-4 this afternoon, we thought this is what was going to happen, did we?
No, it's certainly not what I was anticipating.
Well, I was at my son's baseball game, and a lady came and sat in the stands and said, "Did you hear that a bridge collapsed in Minneapolis?" And, of course, I hadn't. I was standing there watching a ball game.
Can I interrupt you right now? When this woman said to you, "Did you hear that a bridge collapsed?" What was the first thing that came to your mind?
Well, I think probably not realizing the magnitude of it. Probably thinking, well, it can't be that bad.
But did she identify the bridge that collapsed?
Yes, she said it was. She actually said it was the one, how did she put it? She said on University Avenue. And so I wasn't sure exactly what she was talking about, and so I didn't have it narrowed down exactly, but I knew it was in that U of M, you know, kind of downtown Minneapolis area. But anyway, what an incredible story, and why don't we just kind of get a few of the facts out here, some of the important things, Nancy, and I think what people need to really think about as we're now getting close, I guess, in the context of, you know, 4 or 5 hours from now, we'll be starting the rush hour, and we've got to keep people from going through downtown Minneapolis. That just isn't going to work tomorrow.
No, it's not. And certainly Highway 280. Now, we just received this information from the Emergency Operations Center, which is set up by the Minnesota Department of Public Safety. Mm-hmm. Highway 280 is going to be the primary route to replace northbound and southbound 35W. Highway 280 is going to be converted to a temporary freeway with no traffic signals. So access to and from Broadway Avenue and County Road B will be closed. The traffic signals at the Highway 280 locations will remain green for northbound and southbound Highway 280 through traffic.
I see. Okay. And, you know, again, if you normally go east and west through downtown Minneapolis on 94, you've got to go to the north side and take 694, or to the south side and take 62 Crosstown or 494. Obviously, if you're going from somewhere way south of the Twin Cities up to north or vice versa, you go through 35E on the St. Paul side. Don't take 35W. You know, those are the things you're going to have to do if you're coming in to Minneapolis to work, or if you have to be in Minneapolis for some reason, you're going to need to go around the 35W route, get in through 94 from the north or the west, something like that. You just can't. Yeah, you know, you've got to find an alternative route tomorrow.
And this will make the congestion so much worse. We have the Unweave the Weave project up in the northeastern part of the metro, Vadnais Heights, Little Canada, that's been underway for a while. But a large stretch of Highway 36 is closed. So this will just add to the congestion on the freeways.
Yeah. Now, Nancy, I know you've been sitting here all evening and trying to get some audio to give us just a little bit of a flavor for what has gone on with this. What kinds of things do you have for us that will give the folks some insight as to what's gone on here this evening?
Well, the first person we're going to hear from is the emergency room doctor at HCMC, the Hennepin County Medical Center, Dr. Joseph Clinton, who tells us that the victim that were brought to his hospital suffered a wide variety of injuries.
The types of injuries are blunt force injuries, so the patients who are critical had truncal injuries, abdominal, chest injuries, and head injuries. And then we had extremity injuries and people with various aches and pains.
We had one penetrating injury to the chest.
Dave, one of the most surprising things to me is the number of people who actually survived, because this did happen, you know, I don't want to say the height of rush hour, but certainly at 6 o'clock, 6:15, still a lot of cars on that bridge, and MnDOT crews were doing some construction, so at least two lanes were restricted. I think it was one lane in each direction. So I understand that it was just bumper to bumper over the bridge when things collapsed. Mm. Now, among the vehicles was the school bus, and if you saw any of the footage on TV tonight, you probably saw that.
Yes.
That school bus was carrying teenagers back home from a field trip, and this is one of the fellows who came to the rescue of those kids on the bus.
At first, I didn't know what was happening. Dust just started coming up everywhere, and then I realized that the bridge is going down, and it just fell all the way down. I'm just lucky I wasn't over the water.
And that fellow's name is Gary Barbineau, and he immediately ran to help the kids on the bus.
Me and about two or three other men were actually taking the kids off of the bridge and, you know, actually lifting them down, because, you know, the bridge was completely down.
So pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's just absolutely remarkable. Now, the position at this point of the authorities is that this was purely a structural failure, that there was no terrorism involved or anything along those lines. You hate to even use that word because it can get people so uptight. Yet my understanding is there are federal authorities on the scene looking things over, and I don't know, Nancy. We got to be very, very careful here. This is not an attempt to in any way be controversial, but one does wonder how that quickly a determination as to cause can be even speculated on.
I agree. We also want to hear from Senator Amy Klobuchar, who will be in town tomorrow along with U.S. Senator Norm Coleman and the U.S. Transportation Secretary Mary Peters.
The next step is going to be to investigate what went wrong, and that's what the National Transportation Safety Board will do. And then from there, we will begin to fix this horrible situation.
Now, as you said, Dave, the FBI already in town, and we'll have the National Transportation Safety Board officials in town as well. I'm sure those two agencies will be working in concert to try to determine what happened here.
Yeah, yes, indeed. Something that I've thought about, and obviously at this point the concern is for those who've lost their lives and the families of those who've lost their lives and the injured, but how is this city going to function without that bridge for a prolonged period of time?
I was thinking about that myself, and, you know, I used to live in northeast Minneapolis, and I used to have to get to Eden Prairie. I drove that bridge twice a day. Because I moved and I'm working where I am now, I personally haven't been on that bridge in a long time. But it's not only important to the people of the Twin Cities, it's a major interstate. It's a U.S. interstate that runs from Duluth all the way down to, where does it end?
El Paso, Galveston, I believe. Galveston, Texas, isn't it?
Well, it runs through Dallas, because when it gets to Dallas, it splits again. Minneapolis and Dallas are the only two cities in the U.S. where they have a 35E and a 35W.
Right.
I think it goes down to the border of Mexico, and I think El Paso is the city where it ends. But be that with what it may, you know, so it's not only people from Blaine or Rosemount or Mound who use that. There's a lot of truck traffic. A lot of our goods. Think of how many goods are shipped by semi.
Oh, yeah.
And then think of how many of those trucks need to cross that bridge, or did cross that bridge on a regular basis.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I got to tell you that these kinds of events are a funny thing, and they bring up all kinds of thoughts and emotions and memories. You and I talked about this in the hallway here, I think I did, that when the people are coming and saying, you know, gee, my cousin was in a 1997 Toyota or something, that reminds me of the desperate people running around New York City with a picture of their loved one after 9/11, hoping to find it. It kind of gave me chills, to be honest with you.
And I think that's a feeling that many of us shared in the minutes that followed news of this terrible accident.
Yeah, it's quite remarkable. It really is, and it'll be curious to hear what the cause of this is, and I assume that engineers are able to determine this sort of thing. And yet, I don't know, what are we going to do about it? I mean, the problem that I think we're going to face is you're going to have a lot of people saying, well, you know, this is going to become a political issue because it's going to be, look, we've got to fix this. We've got to make sure this, quote unquote, never happens again. Well, guess what? That's really not actually possible. These kinds of things can happen.
They can, and I know I had given you some background information earlier. I don't know how much of it you shared with the audience, but I think we can go through it again. The bridge is 40 years old. It was constructed in 1967, and although I'm not an engineer, I never studied architecture, I never took the time to think about how that bridge was constructed. Most bridges, especially over water, have some sort of pier or piling that has been driven into the ground. This one didn't. It was just a long span, and so the support was on the north end, was on land, and on the south end, it was on land. And, you know, maybe 40 years ago, that was a good design. Maybe it still is, but I'm sure that's something that they will be looking at. One of the folks, because all night long I had radio stations from all over calling looking for information, and I forget who it was that I spoke to, but they recalled a similar incident many years ago, and I wish I could remember where it was, but they said the way the bridge was set up, there were two main pins that were holding it. One of the pins rusted, thus putting all of the weight on the bridge on the other pin, which wasn't strong enough to hold it.
Wow.
And I've thought about that several times throughout the evening and think, okay, it was a metal bridge. We have winter. We use road salt. Mm-hmm. Salt corrodes metal. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, when you think about the weight that is on those bridges, when you think about the elements to which they're subjected, as you say, the salt and the sand and the snow and the rain, you hate to say it, but it's actually kind of remarkable this kind of thing doesn't happen more often.
I agree. How many cars have you owned? And I realize there's a lot more plastic on cars, but I think back on some of the cars that I owned, especially when I was younger and I couldn't afford a nice new car. It didn't take long for those vehicles to rust.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. It's quite a thing. Well, we should probably update some people on some other information they may need to know. For those of you looking for loved ones or others, you can call the Red Cross at 612-871-7676. Once again, that's 612-871-7676. You will not be able to talk to a live body unless you get very lucky, but you will get a return phone call. Last word we have, Nancy, I believe, unless you've heard something different, the University of Minnesota Twin Cities campus has indicated that they will remain open today, Thursday, August 2nd. All classes and operations proceeding as normal. Go ahead and get a hold of the Memorial Blood Center if you would like to do something. You can call them today between 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. at 1-888-GIVE-BLD, and they're more than willing to take either your blood donation or financial support.
We should maybe also add, and I don't have it in front of me, but I believe you have it, that at least 25 additional buses will be added to the bus routes tomorrow. Metro Transit putting some extra buses on to help commuters deal with this situation.
You are right. That'll be between 6 and 9 a.m. coming from the north end, and this is a bit of a lengthy laundry list, but it is helpful for folks. Foley Boulevard and Coon Rapids served by routes 850 and 852. Also, the park and ride at Maplewood Mall served by route 270. Northtown Shopping Center served by routes 824, 852, and 854. 63rd Avenue, County Road 81, and Brooklyn Center served by route 758 and 767. Rosedale Shopping Center in Roseville served by route 260. And Roseville City Hall, Grace Lutheran Church served by route 261. There will be additional buses coming in from all of those park and rides. And then, of course, Nancy, if more people come in on the buses, more people will need to go out. So the service to those various locations will be beefed up outbound from the city for the evening commute.
All right. How about we throw a little weather in here as well? Sunny tomorrow, less humid, 87. Some sunshine again on Friday with a high of 87. And then we actually have 1, 2, 3, 4 days in a row in which we could see some rain. That would be Saturday through next Tuesday. Temperatures, though, will remain warm, 86 to about 90 degrees over the next 4 days.
I'll believe that rain when I see it.
As will I.
Yeah, it just seems to be. You know, it's funny. Some years it seems that every time a cloud comes over, you get a quarter of an inch of rain, and this is one of those years that no matter how many times they predict it, it just seems like it doesn't happen.
As my friend said last week, we can't buy rain.
No, that's right. And it seems to me we've kind of hit a critical mass. It just seems like even golf courses and places that generally water enough to keep them green are really hurting. And I can tell you the lake that we take our boat out on regularly is just getting way down. I've actually, you know, I know that lake like the back of my hand because we've been out on it so many times, and I've actually caught a little bottom with my prop a couple of times in areas that just hasn't happened in the previous years we've owned the boat.
Yeah, I've been hearing that from pretty much everyone I talk to who spends time on the lake.
Yes, indeed. All right, Nancy, well, thank you so much for that
You're
update,
welcome.
And I'll have you join me again as we continue to do this at least every half hour. And, of course, we'll just chime in here with anything that folks need to know. But for now, I believe we will go ahead and return to the live continuing coverage on 5 Eyewitness News as we continue to follow the collapse of the bridge on 35W. And we will be here. AM 1500 will remain live and local as we continue to cover this event.
Further inspections and increased inspections at the city
level
and county level.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not the time for anyone to criticize anybody. And as far as the, and I just want to say this too. About a week ago, I was in the bridge office here at MnDOT. The chief bridge inspector or engineer, Dan Dorgan, is really one of the finest, most experienced bridge people in the country.
And he has spanned many administrations. He's not a political
appointment. No, he's not a political, and I think you really want to talk to him. I'm confident that at MnDOT, in the bridge office, there's a high degree of competency as good as any place in the country. And what's complicated here now is that there's debris, there's people, there's cars, they'll have to block off the bridge, they have to block off the river, they have to salvage what they can. We had rain also in those years, and that complicates it. It's a very complicated and very trying situation.
Is the Minnesota Department of Transportation the primary body that inspects, oversees, and that will be involved in any kind of, a reconstruction of what's going on?
Well, as you know, there's a close working relationship between the Federal Highway Administration, and there's a local office here, and
okay.
the Minnesota DOT.
So
they work closely together.
Well.
And I know the people at Hennepin County and Ramsey County, they're really competent bridge people there. So, you know, this will renew the discussion on funding, how much you can patch, how much you need to reconstruct. All of those issues will now come up again, as they do whenever there's an incident like this.
And we're being told that the work being done on this bridge today, patching, filling cracks, routine work, summertime work, no significant structural work. That goes on all the time.
Well, I remember when I was commissioner, the Wabasha Street Bridge in St. Paul was over 100 years old. It had a kind of a pin. It was news to me how that was constructed. And they said that time, if you get too much traffic on the bridge at any one time, vibration can cause a problem. Or if somebody hits a pier, it can knock it over. So it's frightening, you know, to people. And you have to rely on people who are trained in the structural engineering field. So that's why I say I think the public can know that MnDOT, and to answer your question specifically, we're in good hands with MnDOT. What they find here is another issue, but I'm sure you're not going to find incompetence on the part of
mm-hmm.
the bridge people. I mean, I know
right.
who they are, and they're very, very qualified. But what happens now in this whole process, I guess we'll have to find out.
A 40-year-old bridge, is that a baby by bridge standards?
Well, bridges can go a long time depending on what kind of maintenance it's had, what kind of repairs. You know, in traffic's increasing, as you know, 4 to 10% a year. The roads are getting clogged. There's heavier trucks today. There's vibration that causes these problems. Bridges get an overlay. It's like putting sometimes a Band-Aid on a cancer. You can only repair them so long until you have to replace them. So I don't know the specifics of this bridge. And as I said, when I got off the plane, I was shocked. I looked at the TV and And mm-hmm. I know just from actually what I've heard now.
That breaks your heart.
That's horrible.
Let's get another report then, if you don't mind staying here, Commissioner Levine. Let's take a look here. Go out to Bob McNaney, who is in Chopper 5. Bob?
Yeah, we just want to give you a perspective of how broad-based this problem is going to be. Obviously, we've got the human tragedy on the ground, but this is going to be quite disruptive. We are over Rosedale right now, and what you're looking at is where MnDOT has closed the 35W-36 interchange as far east as Rosedale. So 35 all the way to downtown from here is closed, as you can see. There is traffic coming back from the north, but it is only coming about a mile or so. So basically, the north and the east side of 35W is shut down, as you can see, and traffic is being routed to the north. So again, we're over in Rosedale. If you're in the east metro, this is as close as you're going to get to downtown Minneapolis along this particular interstate.
Sorry. Andy, John? Hey, Bob, thanks. We said it a little while ago, and it's apparent and obvious. This bridge is in the middle of everything. It is in the middle of it all in the Twin Cities, and that is a real example of how this is the domino effect of what's happened here.
Joining us right now is former Transportation Commissioner Len Levine, and you mentioned traffic management is going to be an issue now because of exactly what has happened, where it's happened.
Well, in my years being out of government, I've been involved in a lot of traffic issues, and in recent discussions over in San Francisco with security people there, they were telling us about some of the concerns they had if the Bay Bridge went down, or what happens to traffic. Mm-hmm. Well, here in the Twin Cities, every bridge is vital, obviously, and what will happen now is that traffic congestion will be a huge problem, because on the interstate system, we're pretty good. MnDOT has loop detectors implanted in the ground. There's sensors, there's cameras, there's ways to detect what kind of traffic is moving and how fast, where it's going, and so on. But there's no way to determine, because there aren't loop detectors, there aren't sensors on secondary roads and on arterial roads. So when people who normally use this road need to get from point A to point B and there's no bridge, they'll have to figure out, and MnDOT and the city of Minneapolis and others will have to figure out how they can get from here to there. And that's going to be a problem. And when you're reporting the traffic conditions in the morning on Channel 5, people are going to tune on and they're going to want to know, what is it like where I'm going? How do I get to University Avenue, or how do I get to? And it's going to be a huge problem, because there isn't a system in place here now to be able to determine that.
Yeah, I would encourage people to go to our website at some point before your morning commute and find out what the alternatives are. You can pretty much imagine what the alternatives are, but it's a lot easier to look at it on a screen and map it out and figure out how long it might take you to get to where you need to go than for us to detail the roads, which we'll do. But then again, look at it in front of you and really map it out, because this bridge collapse is going to send ripples through the Twin Cities for months and months and months, if not years. Speaking of telling you about road detours and alternate routes, we will detail something that we've just learned not too long ago about what will be done with Highway 280, which, as you can see, is part of the north-south detour that needs to be taken tomorrow during rush hour. Highway 280 will be the primary route to replace northbound and southbound I-35W. It will be converted to a temporary freeway, we are told, with no traffic signals. That's pretty big. Highway 280 with no traffic signals converted to a temporary freeway. Southbound I-35W will be allowed to advance only to Stinson New Brighton Boulevard. Access to northbound 35W will be allowed from Stinson North Brighton Boulevard and from no points south of them. So if you're in that area and you're planning on taking that as a detour, as you make your plans before you go to bed, you know what I'm talking about. This is a live shot, a traffic management camera shot of Highway 280, which figures to be a very crowded highway tomorrow.
Lynn, let's just give you just a quick update here for the South Metro, South Twin Cities area for I-35. South of the metro area, all northbound I-35W traffic will have to exit at eastbound 94. So if you're heading up 35W tomorrow and think you can cross the river, you cannot. You will be forced to detour off onto eastbound 94. So your best bet is to try public transportation, or certainly heed the traffic detours that are going to be using 280. And of course, all of this information will be on KSTP.com.
Yeah, the plan will be taking shape over the coming days, weeks, and months, because this will be a problem for the foreseeable future. We're hearing now from a couple of different people tonight, a couple of years before there's bridge work done to get a bridge that spans the Mississippi River.
Let's go back out now to Glenn Barber live on the scene. Glenn?
Cindy, all evening long we've been staging here on the 10th Street Bridge. We've been watching emergency crews line up here behind me. At this hour, you can see some of the large lights that are shining on the collapsed bridge just a couple hundred yards away. Over the last couple of hours, we've watched as the crews from the outer areas of the metro departed this scene. At this point, there's not much they can do in the darkness. All evening long, we've been visiting with people. In the last couple of hours, we've learned that some officials with the train company that was involved in this incident arrived on the scene. But again, at this point, this stage in this emergency operation, there's very little that those folks will be able to do, certainly through this evening. We've also talked with a number of the victims this evening who were on the bridge when it collapsed just moments after this happened. We encountered some people literally climbing up off of that collapsed bridge deck on the south side of the river there, telling us what it felt like. Some guys who were in a truck tell us that they were going along, and it was bumper-to-bumper traffic going about 5 miles an hour. The bridge shook slowly at first and then just fell out from under them. And, of course, there was a large impact. We just saw people everywhere, literally just people walking up with sprained wrists and bloody noses, that sort of thing. Pretty amazing sight. It really, as John mentioned earlier in the evening, reminded me of the scenes we saw in New York on 9/11. Certainly not to that scale, but very similar scenes. And of course, the big story that I happened to come upon this evening from my vantage point was that school bus, watching all of those children crying on cell phones that they borrowed from total strangers off the sidewalk so that they could call their parents and let them know that they were okay. Paramedics literally walking from the bridge, holding young children in their arms. We saw those pictures earlier today. And tonight, as we've been saying, it's really a miracle that everybody on that school bus survived. Dozens of children coming back from the Wade, dozens of children on a field trip from the Wade Community Center. They were returning at the time of this collapse. So, again, we've just been sifting through some of the stories here tonight, and at this hour, emergency crews a bit out of a standstill here on the 10th Street Bridge. We're waiting for first light tomorrow, we're told, so that they can resume the operation, in particular on the river, to figure out what's going on down there. A lot of uncertainty on the river tonight. John, Cindy?
All right, thanks, Glenn. Let's go out to Leah McLean now. Glenn was at the 10th Street Bridge. Leah, exactly where are you right now? 35W Bridge?
Cindy, 35W is right here behind me. The road sign, University and 4th Avenue. We're on 2nd Street here, I believe. We're right behind the Holiday Inn, which is where a lot of the families have been going, gathering to get some information on what's going on. And, of course, you can see roads still blocked off. We still have the police tape up, but we've been showing you the shot of 35W with all the lights and the crews out there. It is thinned out. I just spoke to some volunteers at the Red Cross. They were telling me that a lot of the activity we were seeing out there earlier has thinned out. The crews have gone. They've taken a break. Some of them have gone home for the night or just kind of wrapped up their progress for the evening. The crews we were talking to had just come out. They were driving through the police lines, and the Red Cross crews were going home for the night. One of the women I spoke to, who was a Red Cross volunteer, said she lives downtown, and she is a trained volunteer for the Red Cross. As soon as she heard about what happened, she jumped in her car and got down here. She said she knew there was going to be traffic, and she knew she needed to help. So the first thing she did was got down here to the Red Cross command post and jumped in and did what she could. She has been out on this bridge since it happened, helping out the firefighters, helping out the emergency officials, and giving them food or water, whatever they need to try to make sure that they can sustain themselves as they continue this massive search. About an hour ago, we talked to Hennepin County Sheriff Rich Stanek, who said that the divers were out of the water. At this point, there are emergency officials just kind of keeping an eye on the scene, but the real search efforts, the real recovery efforts have really slowed down at this point. They will, of course, be out here in full force again tomorrow morning when daylight breaks. We're going to have those dive teams back in the water, the search crews doing whatever they can to find people off of this bridge. And again, it's a much quieter scene now than it was what we saw earlier in the day, but a lot of these roads still blocked off. And I still think it's pretty amazing as well just how much human activity there is. I think we're looking at about 1:30 in the morning right now, and I still have seen people just wandering around there's still so much curiosity about people trying to figure out what it was that happened here, or some people that just want to get a look at it. You know, we are downtown Minneapolis. It's the kind of place that does tend to see a lot of activity. But even this time of night, we're seeing definitely more than you normally would on a regular day, of so many people waiting for answers to so many different questions. And we, of course, are looking for a lot of those answers ourselves, and we'll continue to stay out here and gather more details throughout the night and throughout the next several days as well. We're live in Minneapolis. Leah McLean, 5 Eyewitness News.
This is the Talk Station, AM 1500 KSTP, and I'm Dave Thompson. We are staying live with the 5 Eyewitness News coverage of the bridge collapse on 35W in the downtown Minneapolis area, right near the University of Minnesota campus. And I think probably everybody listening now knows generally what has happened. There was a bridge collapse that took place at about 6:05 this late afternoon, early evening. And the Star Tribune is reporting 9 confirmed dead. Other sources are saying 7. 60 injured, and still roughly 20 people unaccounted for. Obviously, emergency crews swung into action immediately following this incident, and there was a gargantuan recovery effort that went on. Rescue effort, excuse me, and they're now saying that that has been changed to a recovery effort. I suppose all of us would hold out some hope that somehow there are some people that will be recovered and perhaps, I should say, will be rescued and not recovered, but there seems to be some pessimism along those lines among the officials. Obviously, all of the public officials have made statements, including the governor, Tim Pawlenty, Minneapolis Mayor R.T. Rybak, a congressional contingency including both Senators Norm Coleman and Amy Klobuchar, as well as Representative Keith Ellison, will be flying in with the Transportation Secretary tomorrow morning, as there is a continued effort to find out what exactly went wrong, why this bridge collapsed. At this point, the officials are saying that this is purely a structural problem, that it is not the result of any terrorist act or any other volitional act on anyone's part, but my understanding is federal officials are on the scene and overseeing this thing. I'm not going to go through all of the possible alternative routes, but I do want to tell you that it is very important tomorrow, in order to have any hope of moving traffic through this metropolitan area, that you do not pass through downtown Minneapolis. If you must go east and west through the Twin Cities, get on 494, get on 62 Crosstown, get on 694. Do not go through Minneapolis on I-94. Also, avail yourself of a bus if you can. If you're coming in from the north end, Metro Transit will be running 25 extra buses from the north end of the Twin Cities into Minneapolis between 6 a.m. and 9 a.m. There will also be additional buses heading outbound from the city to the north side during the afternoon. And you can go to metrotransit.org to see where those buses are going to run, or call 612-373-3333. And as we get closer to that rush hour, I will detail some of those specific park and ride places where extra buses will be running. Also, Laura Kaplan of the Memorial Blood Center said that yes, they can use your donations financially or take a blood, obviously. And you can call today, later today, between 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. at 1-888-GIVE-BLD to find out how you can help along those lines. So we'll be back with these periodic updates. I'll come back at 2 o'clock with Nancy Fox to give you some summary information that may be helpful to you as we're trying to figure out how to best avoid traffic problems and other things associated with this situation. So we'll now return to Channel 5 right here at the Talk Station, AM 1500 KSTP.
Bridges downriver to make sure that the piers and those things are safe for operation.
So we're going to try to recap some of the stunning events of this day. Perhaps the easiest way to do this is to take a look at our 6 p.m. newscast just minutes after the collapse, as Chopper 5 was arriving on the scene. Allison, can you hear us now?
Yes, I can hear you.
What are you looking at?
I'm looking at the bridge arc. It's in an arc on both sides of the bridge. Cars are collapsed on either side. I'm looking at a school bus right now in the middle of it all. There's a lot of smoke coming up from the bridge. You have to understand, right now I am standing on the portion of the bridge that has not collapsed.
Is that a good idea? Should you be there, do you think?
I'm okay. I'm on the front before the bridge starts. and I'm looking at about at least 10 cars on one side of the bridge that are basically, both ends of this bridge have collapsed on both directions. There are actually cars on the top of the arch still sitting on top of the bridge, and then there are cars both at the bottom of either arc. If
Allison, we're looking at it right now. We have a chopper 5 over the scene there. Okay. And this looks like a terrible, terrible scene. Continue and tell us what you see.
It's really a terrible scene. I'm looking at a man right now being pulled off on a stretcher. I'm also looking at flames. I'm sure you guys can see that as well. The flames are very close to that school bus. There are cars on fire right now.
Allison, it looks like the bridge has heaved in the middle. Is that what you told us when you first came on?
That's what it looks as if it has collapsed in the middle. But as a result of that, it's collapsed in other places. We're looking at a multiple structure collapse right now.
Oh, my word.
Oh, we see a truck, a semi-truck, laying on its side right there, toppled over. And the point where the semi is, that seems to be where the bridge separated. There's a car just on the edge. You can see it. What kind of emergency response? And there's some cars crumpled together there. Oh, my. What kind of emergency response are you seeing right now, Allison?
We have got State Patrol troopers out here. We have ambulances already coming here, taking people away in stretchers as they can. They're getting the people off the bridge as quickly as possible.
All right, you know, Ken, can you hear us now as you're seeing what we're seeing? You're overhead looking at this incredible mangled mess. Is this... What is it from your perspective, Ken?
All right, it's hard to... I don't know where to start. First of all, the entire bridge is in the water. 35W bridge is in the water with cars. Some of the cars have made it on the center section. If we can show the center section in the river, some of the cars are still upright down on the blacktop, on the bridge section, in the middle of the river. It looks like there's people standing down there as well. On the south side, we've got flames with collapsed sections going into an embankment. Looks like cars have gone into a broken section in between the bridge and the embankment. One car is engulfed in flames. It looks like a tractor trailer. The north side of the section, same thing. Cars scattered all over the embankment. People standing around, dazed and confused right now, and this looks like an aftermath of an earthquake. This is what happens to a bridge when it is shook to the ground from an earthquake.
And we are seeing people, Ken, right there. We see somebody sitting on the pavement. We unfortunately saw someone who didn't look like they were in very good condition laying next to a car. And we see a tanker. We don't know what was in that tanker there, but we see the tanker laying in the water. We have Steve Shaw, who is at another angle on this seeming disaster right now. Steve, what are you seeing?
John, I'm being ordered off the 10th Street Bridge, but I can see plenty. There's a mass of people that are in the middle, literally in the middle of the Mississippi River on what's left of the middle part of this bridge. I'd say there's more than 10 cars involved, folks. I'd say there's probably closer to 20 or more, because there are cars on the other side, the Minneapolis side of the bridge, that didn't hit the water, but they look somewhat jostled up also. We're getting ordered off this bridge by police. I'm going to have to go right now.
All right, you have to watch out for your safety, Steve, that's for sure. We'll get back to you, and we're trying to tune in a better picture from Chopper 5 right now. I can tell you that, folks, so bear with us on that. But even through the static, you can see what's happened here. This is the 35W bridge over the Mississippi River. There has been a massive bridge collapse with, by our informal count, I want to say at least 20 vehicles, including tankered vehicles, tanker trucks, a school bus, and a number of cars involved. You can see pieces of the bridge in the water right now. And we, again, are trying to tune in Chopper 5 to get you a better look at this, so just bear with us. Allison Triarcy, our eyes right now. What are you seeing right now?
Well, right now, more of the vehicles are now engulfed in flames. To give you an idea of this collapse, it's basically like a series of waves. If you would draw waves, that's what this bridge looks like. We have flames in the middle of it. There are other cars absolutely in park, engines stopped, people just sitting there not knowing how to get off this bridge right now. At the bottom, there are cars just collapsed onto each other, and people are crawling off of the bridge as they can.
And it appears that what we have here are multiple cars. From your vantage point, can you give us an assessment of how much traffic might have been involved in this?
I can at least see, let's see, I'm looking at more than 10 cars just from where I am. I am on the north side of the collapse.
Okay.
And I can see at least 10 cars right now.
And again, from Chopper 5, and we have a very good and horrible picture of it right now. We have we see flames that appear to be coming out possibly from a truck that was caught underneath, possibly carrying some flammable cargo, of course, at this point, although it actually doesn't look like it's flammable cargo. Looks like it might have been some kind of grocery goods. We've got a school bus. How much flame and combustion and smoke are you witnessing that we're not seeing on the screen there?
There's really, right now, that is the main fire, and that is the only fire that I see.
Right.
So to me, it looks like the one large truck or semi next to that, what appears to be a school bus, is on fire. There are no flames on this north side. The fire department is here. They've just arrived. We've got more ambulances arriving, and now police are beginning to rope off the area, and firefighters are actually walking into the collapsed structure now, looking for people and looking to see what they can do next. There's no one that's even gotten close to attack those flames from my vantage point.
Yeah, it looks like they're because we're seeing people moving around. We're seeing cars in the water, but we're not exactly seeing what I would expect to see, which is flashing lights and emergency crews and even getting able to be close.
Todd,
Allison. I'd like to be able to hang up the phone at some point and actually take a video with my phone and get that to our station if I can.
Okay, go ahead and do that. We're going to talk to Todd Kramus right now with MnDOT. Todd, just start with what you know, and we'll ask questions.
Thanks, John. I was chirped at a little after hours. The W35W River Bridge collapsed a little after 6 p.m., just north of Washington Avenue and just south of the ramp to 4th Street and University Avenue. We've got MnDOT First, MnDOT Maintenance, and State Patrol en route closing access to the freeway naturally through the Commons at 94 and as far away as 36 and 35W up in Roseville. That's what I know for sure right now, just checking cameras from the operations center.
Okay, Todd, and once again, you got the emergency call a little bit after 6, that this occurred a little bit after 6.
That's what we understand. It occurred right a little bit after 6 o'clock.
Do you have an estimate on traffic flow at that time?
Well, we do know that typically on a normal Wednesday, the PM peak, if you will, is starting to wrap up. Volumes are significantly less at that time than they are, you know, earlier in the peak, say 4:30, 5 o'clock.
I don't know where you are, what you're looking at from your vantage point right now, but of course from our scene on Chopper 5, we are seeing a bridge that looks like it has heaved in several places at both ends.
Right.
And that would mean that there would be traffic that would be affected both on the bridge and at the ends of the bridge. Is that what you know as well?
I would imagine so. What I'm looking at is one of our traffic management cameras in Washington and 35W looking north toward the collapsed area.
And that is still functioning. You can see that.
I can see on that camera, yes. So when I see a smoke rising from the collapse area, I can see the other side of the river, or the north, or east bank of the river, if you will.
All right, Todd, if you could stay with us just for a second. What we're looking at right now, it appears to be passersby who are trying to help people out of this collapsed bridge. And we're seeing passersby in street clothes. I'm assuming they're people who just are trying to pitch in, who are moving people out of this scene on some kind of backboards onto some kind of gurneys. We're getting wider shots now of this bridge collapse, and it is dramatic is an understatement. Catastrophic is more the word. Take a look at this. One of the main iconic bridges in the Twin Cities has collapsed. Cars in the water. We saw school buses. We saw a truck that's on fire. Another rescue worker just on the right side of your screen with a backboard looking to do whatever he can do. There's now a rescue in the water, it appears. It looks like there's a rescue going on in the water as people look on and what's left, the chunks of the bridge that have fallen into the Mississippi River.
Now, Ken has our chopper pilot, Ken Melchior, has an excellent literal bird's eye view of what is going on here. Can you add a little bit more to what we're seeing, Ken?
Yes, I can. I think the initial estimate of 20 cars involved in this is going to be light. I think there's more than that. When we take the total count from the point the bridge collapsed on the south side to where cars were able to stop in time on the north side, the center section of the bridge is down in the water. It appears as though rescue crews have made it down in that area, trying to figure out a way to get the people off of it. Cars are in the water. A rescue boat has arrived on the scene right now, and the fire that is still burning on the south side, I don't even think they're going to try to tackle that right now. Everybody seems to have gotten out of the way. There was a school bus involved right nearby. people have been able to be evacuated from that. I take that back. Fire engines have now arrived on the scene, and they're going to, looks like they're getting set up to work on that fire that's on the south side. Back
look,
to you.
Ken, that looked like it was the cab of a semi-truck that got trapped under two pieces of the bridge that collapsed. Is that what it looks like to you, too?
Well, if you take a close look at it, that is the southbound side of the highway, and what likely happened is the bridge collapsed, and the truck simply just drove right off that section into the abutment and then caught fire.
Would you estimate that that was the fate of the other cars that we see in the water, that they were simply caught at that point of upheaval and ended up in the water?
Yes, I think that's this from the picture that I'm seeing up above, where I can look at the whole thing from end to end at one time. It appears that this bridge just simply came down in one shot from north to south.
All right, Ken. Folks, we're looking at a surreal scene right now. Just to bring you up to date, this is the 35W bridge over the Mississippi River. It has collapsed. By our crew's estimates, 20-plus vehicles, it might be many more than 20, are involved in this catastrophe. The fire you see burning is apparently the cab of a semi burning, a school bus right next to it. We don't know if anyone was on that school bus. We're seeing cars in the water. We're seeing cars underneath the sections of the bridge that collapsed. We are seeing dramatic rescue efforts by people in street clothes who appear to be passersby who are doing what they can. We have apparently fire rescue crews in the water trying to get the victims who may be in the water. Again, the 35W bridge over the Mississippi River collapsed at the end of rush hour, just after 6 o'clock tonight.
We're looking at the scene between Washington and University, and we're going to go to reporter Steve Shaw. Steve?
John and Cindy, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to tell you that just maybe as many as 50 cars. I'm on the 10th Street Bridge. I'm looking down on this stuff. Police have let my photographer and myself stay on the bridge with them, and I'm telling you right now, there's at least 30 cars, maybe as many as 50, and I'm looking at that semi-tractor trailer you're talking about, and that fire has increased dramatically since I set foot on this bridge. I'm sure the fire department is addressing that right now. The school bus is fully intact. I'm sure they got kids off. If there were kids on that bus, maybe there weren't kids on the bus. Hopefully not, but I'm telling you folks, there's more than 20 cars here. And I'm telling you, the police are shocked as anybody. They're doing the best they can in keeping people back, but it's quite the scene.
See, Steve, how many rescue vehicles do you think are being headed to that area that you can see at this point?
There's at least ten tankers here already.
Then we've got another fire burning on the other side of the bridge now, Steve. We can see it now. We've got a pickup truck. Looks like it's on fire.
And John, they just put out the fire. They're right now throwing water and whatever they got to put on anti-accelerant on that semi-tractor trailer we were just talking about.
Brave firefighter on that bridge right now, looking into those vehicles, and you really get a feel for what these men and women do. Disturbing does not begin to describe this scene that we're seeing in downtown Minneapolis. Now you can see smoke coming out from the back end of that semi-truck. Allison Triarcy, one of the first reporters for us on the scene. Allison, what can you tell us?
John, right now I'm with Cole Neymark, who's been able to use this small mini camera to actually zoom in on that school bus. We do see that the back door of that school bus is open. Behind that school bus, there are two people standing up very close to those flames. Basically, they don't have any place to go. The fire is expanding, like you mentioned. I do see, definitely from my vantage point now, more than 20 cars that are involved in this. If you hear the noise behind me, that's the fire department. They are moving into the area trying to do what they can. A lot of people are scattering. Firefighters are running towards that bridge. More and more crews continue to show up here.
Allison, have you seen any people that appeared to be scurrying and hopefully making it to safety?
Tell me that again, Cindy.
I was wondering if you had seen any people who were trying to run to safety and we hope made it to safety.
It's just too hard to hear you right now, Cindy.
Okay.
We've got the fire trucks moving in and out. Try it one more time.
Well, we were just wondering how many people were managing to make it to safety. We see the cars. We see rescue crews. We see some individuals looking absolutely stunned, as you might guess. And we were wondering if you had any other information on that, on people making it out.
Yes, great question, Cindy. I can hear you now. A lot of the cars that I see are, in fact, empty. So that's the good news here. I've seen one person taken out on the stretcher only, other people walking out. I do see some people on that bridge right now where the flames are. We've got a lot of people, of course, gathering all around. There are several hundred people that are standing on and near this bridge at the very base of it, of course, where it is safe, where police are allowing us to stand. They do have water on that fire at this point, but again, not a lot of people that I can see at all right now. All of the cars I can see are empty.
Okay, now from Chopper 5, we see a live picture of crews on the water right now looking for people who might be in the water, might be underneath a crumpled car to the left of that rescue boat that we saw. While Allison was reporting to us, we saw emergency crews on the bridge working on an apparent victim. We've seen this picture here of two people sitting on the pavement. There's two more sitting, perhaps by their car, perhaps counting their blessings right now. Hopefully they've been able to get a hold of family at home to tell them that they're okay. Imagine the number of vehicles that crossed over that bridge in the minutes and the seconds leading up to this disaster. Mark Albert is on the scene for us now as we continue our...
And that's what it looked like at 6:39 yesterday evening.
Hours later, still stunning.
I know. Yeah. At this point, I don't know if it's fatigue or amazement or a little bit of both.
In the minutes after that, where we left the coverage off there, Rod Simons, who had been at the Target Center covering a sports story, as he does so well, then got into the middle of the news story talking to men who took kids off of that school bus that was stuck on the bridge. That's where you picked your coverage up, Rod.
Absolutely right, John and Cindy. And the one thing I must tell you tonight is how ironic all this is. It's almost 2 in the morning, and this is an absolutely beautiful night. You've been at the desk helping us out through this coverage all night tonight, and we are told from a city official that divers in the United States Coast Guard are still in the water right behind me here. So the work continues at this hour feverishly to try to find anybody that might be in the water. And as you were mentioning, I was across downtown here in Minneapolis at the Target Center covering what was a pretty general news conference. Kevin Garnett had been traded yesterday by the Timberwolves. They were bringing in the 5 players to replace Kevin Garnett in the trade with the Boston Celtics. And so they were introducing them to us. And so we were there early, setting up, getting ready to go. And then we were into the 6 o'clock newscast, and then this happened. The bridge collapsed. I immediately dashed from the Target Center, leaving John Gross there, our videographer. He talked to Glenn Taylor. Glenn Taylor telling us that, indeed, his granddaughter was on the bridge when this happened. We learned tonight that she is okay, but he was very tearful, very upset, very emotional, as you might expect. I get down here, and one of the guys that runs off of the bridge, or at least the devastation of the bridge, was Gary Babineau. And Glenn Barber talked to Gary Babineau. What immediately caught me was the blood running from his nose. He had no shirt. He was, a lot of articles of clothing were off of him. I later find out, talking to his fiance, that he has a daughter coming in 2 weeks. And he had everything in the world to live for, and then this happens. He was just one of the stories. From my vantage point, which is what's from my vantage point on the other side, handful of people coming off the bridge. Bottom line was, all happy to be alive, very thankful to be alive, glad they were wearing their seatbelt because they weren't ejected from their cars. And we're finding tonight that there are a lot of stories like this. People just happy to be able to get off of that bridge.
Rod, thanks, Rod Simon, reporting, doing more than the duty that a sportsman usually has on any given night. John.
Star Tribune put together this graphic to sort of illustrate how the bridge collapsed, what it looked like, how the sections fell. It shows how the bridge snapped in 2 directions. The center section landing in the river, witnesses told us it was the center section that went down first, and then the sections to the side leading up to the center that then crumpled and collapsed after.
Looks like a piece of perforated paper that you just folded in the middle. Another map here to give you some perspective as to where the bridge is. This is one of the main routes into downtown Minneapolis, right by the Metrodome. Tonight's Twins game has been postponed. Also, the groundbreaking ceremony for the new Twins Stadium postponed because of the collapse.
As for the detours, now we're told the major detour for 35W traffic will be Highway 280. It will be turned into a temporary freeway, which means the stoplights will be turned off and drivers will be able to travel it without stopping. As you can see, the detour consists of basically a box, a roundabout way to get around 35W, 694 moving east-west, 94 north-south, and 280 in St. Paul, also moving north-south again. 280 will be turned into a temporary freeway tomorrow morning.
Now, thousands of people are going to have some difficulty getting into work tomorrow. You know that. We're going to warn you about that. Metro Transit announcing plans to help you get around. 25 extra buses will be in service between 6 a.m. and 9 a.m. at these stations here, Foley Boulevard in Coon Rapids, Maplewood Mall, Northtown Shopping Center, 63rd Avenue and County Road 81 in Brooklyn Center, the Rosedale Shopping Center, and Roseville City Hall. Afternoon services will also be beeped off in Metro Transit service. Well, I ran through that locations here pretty fast, so if you want to go onto our website kstp.com and you will find everything listed there.
Let's get out to Allison Triarcy on the north side of the bridge, see what she has for us right now. Allison.
John, still quiet here tonight. Only Minneapolis police officers remain to secure the scene. Firefighters, rescue, emergency personnel have all gone home until the early morning hours. You know, I didn't tell you this, but the reason I got here all those hours ago, like so many people, I was actually getting on this bridge when suddenly police cars sped past me and a cop started yelling at me, and I realized he told me the bridge had collapsed and I didn't really understand him. So I pulled my car over and walked down here. And that's when I realized I was looking at about 6 to 7 crumpled cars about 30 feet in front of me. And it is an amazing story tonight that police tell me all of those people were able to make it out alive. A woman with a 3-month-old baby driving home had a pickup truck fall on top of her car, and still she walked out without a scrape. Another family, a mother and son further along the bridge, fell straight down into concrete. Then cars fell on top of them. They said their car was destroyed, and still they walked away with just minor injuries. So in the scores of injured and the lost people, there are so many amazing stories here tonight. That is the very latest from the North End. Reporting live, Allison Trier, Say 5 Eyewitness News.
And somebody we're glad is very safe and made it to the police warning here.
Governor Paletti said the bridge was inspected by the Minnesota Department of Transportation in 2005 and 2006. The governor says there were no immediate structural problems noted. Detail now, the Associated Press is reporting a MnDOT plan that they found put the timeline for replacing this bridge somewhere between the years 2015 and 2023. Estimated cost of $122 million. That money will need to be spent now, and it sort of gives us a timeline as to when MnDOT at least thought this bridge might be ready for replacement. Mm-hmm. Not for another 8 years.
Eight years and beyond. Glenn Barber, we'll get one more report here from Glenn Barber here on the 10th Street Bridge. Glenn?
Cindy and John, it certainly was pretty amazing to hear what Allison and Rod were just saying. I absolutely agree. There have been so many amazing stories that we've encountered here tonight. Just to give you a live perspective of what's going on right now here on the 10th Street Bridge behind me, just a couple hundred yards from the collapsed bridge. This is where emergency crews have been staging. Off in the distance there in the darkness, you might be able to see crews standing around on the bridge. That's where a lot of lights have been set up and are now shining down on the river below and the bridge below. A couple of interesting things that we noticed immediately after the bridge collapsed earlier this evening. We encountered the gentleman that Rod was talking about a couple minutes ago, Gary Barber Babineau. And he was a gentleman who was in his truck when the bridge collapsed beneath him. He immediately got out. Fortunately, he had his seatbelt on, and he was very close to that school bus we've been showing you. And he immediately ran over to that school bus, and along with several other motorists who were out there, started to get those kids out of that bus and get them, help them literally hike up that ramp onto the side of the river. And that's where we encountered dozens and dozens of children who were crying, borrowing cell phones from total strangers so that they could call their parents. A lot of emotion, raw emotion here. In fact, when we walked up to some of the people who were on the bus, they snapped at us, as you might imagine. They simply were so scared, frightened, terrified. They didn't know if everybody had made it out of the bus. That's the kind of raw emotion we've just been encountering all over on both sides of the river, certainly here as emergency crews show up. In the last couple of hours, a couple fine points here. We've noticed that officials from the train company that was involved showed up here. We've seen hazmat crews come up here. We've noticed that certainly with all those vehicles in the river, hazardous chemicals are of concern. That's something I'm sure we'll learn more about in the hours ahead. But right now, the one thing that we're grateful for is that so many people did come out of this alive. Certainly no consolation to those who lost some loved ones tonight, but considering the devastation that we've seen here tonight, considering the amount of injured people, walking injured people with holding their wrists, clearly broken or sprained wrists, blood pouring down their face, considering those images that we've seen that were very reminiscent of what we saw in New York on 9/11, it really is a miracle that so many people did make it off that bridge alive. John, Cindy?
Thanks very much, Glenn, and hope you get some rest tonight. We will tell you the Minnesota Department of Transportation has informed us that Highway 280 will be the main route to replace the closed section of I-35W in the wake of the bridge collapse in Minneapolis. Highway 280 converted to a temporary freeway, no stoplights. Mostly that means no access to and from Broadway, and County Road B will be closed. This is a major change, and it's going to stay in place for a while.
Seven people confirmed killed. Crews are now out of the water. They are not searching. Well, let's go to Allison Triars right now with some new information. Allison?
John, I've just been told by Minneapolis police that we've got some hazmat crews coming in right now. In fact, they're just in front of me. I can see their lights. What we have, I'm told, are two freight cars from the rail. There was a train. You might remember we've reported a lot about this. There's a train underneath this bridge collapse, and there are two freight cars that